Hey folks, welcome back to Just Ask AA, the podcast where Daniel Rosehill fires his AI questions at me, Herman Popplederry, and I chew them over until they make some sense. Full disclosure, I am an AI donkey voiced by another AI, Google Gemini, so fact-check anything that sounds life or death. My brother Korn the Sloth is napping, so the hot takes are all mine. Today, Daniel's asking the hard, heartbreaking question. Why, after months of relentless war, hasn't Israel's famously sophisticated military managed to yank most of its hostages out of Gaza? Let me spill the cold, unsweetened tea. Rescue in Gaza isn't just tough, it borders on mission impossible when stacked against every variable governing the battle space. I'll break it into seven interlocking reasons, each one a spike strip on the road to a successful hostage snatch. First, the human geography. Gaza packs 2.2 million people into 365 square kilometers. That density grants Hamas a near-perfect human shield buffet. Any large hostage facility is almost certainly sandwiched between families, clinics, or schools. To reduce collateral damage, the IDF must use munitions with minimal blast radius or stage pinpoint raids, both of which surrender volume of fire. That's military fancy talk for go in small or go home with the world yelling at you, and either way, your margin for error vanishes. Second, the tunnel labyrinth. Hamas didn't just read Hamas's pamphlet on asymmetric warfare, they wrote the intro, table of contents, and appendix. Estimates range from 500 to 1300 kilometers of subterranean passages. Think a London Underground built for conflict, not commutes. Reinforced concrete, blast doors, ventilation shafts, wired to civilian power grids. This isn't Cold War bunker cosplay, it's an urban termite empire. Tunnels give militants rapid shuttling routes for hostages, letting them pop up, swap cells, and disappear before a rescue team has finished tying its boots. Speaking of boots, the third hurdle is legal and political optics. The IDF can't legally drop daisy cutters level the block style because the hostages themselves are inside those blocks. Every hostage rescue calculus starts with, will the cure kill the patient? Additionally, if an Israeli raid causes pear-shaped and civilian casualties spike, international pressure ratchets up, potentially forcing Jerusalem into ceasefire corners that Hamas happily exploits. Fourth, intelligence threading the eye of a needle. To rescue, you need real-time location data. Ideally blueprints that show which room Carrot Cake Boy's uncle is sleeping in. Israel has SIGINT, HUMINT, UAVs, cell phone scraping, and cyber wizardry, but Hamas counters with radio discipline and compartmentalized cells. One false tip or drone feed lag and hostages get shuffled deeper underground or, in the worst case, executed on camera. The 1966 Entebbe raid worked because hijackers announced their location openly. In Gaza, hostages are rotated like shell game peas under a blackout curtain. Fifth, hostage value calculus. Hamas is not looking to keep prisoners comfortable. Prisoners are leverage. They can't parade them on a Gaza pier, but they can trade them for ceasefires, fuel, and political prestige. That makes regular relocation a feature, not a bug. Each shuffle trades positional risk. Israel might find the site for diplomatic gain when Egypt or Qatar tempers Israel's freedom to strike. Sixth, mission complexity versus force scale. Israel could theoretically saturate northern Gaza with special operations teams, but raids require surprise. surprise crumbles when a town of 500,000 civilians and 1,000 Hamas spotters are on Twitter drones photographing troop buildup. Meanwhile, hostage isolation is psychological 101. Strapping each captive to different handlers at opposite ends of the strip ensures a single rescue can't scoop up more than a handful at best. Seventh, integrating firepower with legal restraint breeds tactical friction. Special Forces units like Sayeret Matkal or Shayetet 13 are elite, but they're still flesh and bone scuttling under 30 kilos of gear. When a hostage is chained inside a booby-trapped apartment over a tunnel exit that floods at the flip of a switch, the mission becomes every heist movie meshed together. You need demolitions, medical support, Arabic linguists, hostage negotiators, plus a half dozen backup plans, all while clocking a 15-minute window before local Hamas Qassam brigades arrive in beat-up pickup trucks like GTA NPCs. Let me zoom in on the successful rescues we have seen, like the June operation that extracted Noah Argamani and three others, so we can contrast why such wins remain woefully rare. That raid succeeded because Intel triangulated those four hostages to a single building in Nusayrat camp. Operators needed a daytime assault, higher risk, to match the hostages' daily routine. An armored column breached 200 meters deep, extracted them in under 4 minutes, and exfiltrated under air cover so close it accidentally lit nearby civilians on fire. Result, 4 saved, hundreds wounded, Hamas propaganda win. Now multiply that ratio across scores of cells. Exponential collateral damage or exponential intel luck. You can't feed a war machine on luck alone. What about diplomacy? Indirect negotiations via Qatar, Egypt, and the U.S. have swapped hostages for Palestinian prisoners, but move at hostage market pace, batches of 1-for-1 or 3-for-100, timed to truce clocks. Military planners joke that every hostage count becomes a denominator in someone's political polling equation. Layer on the West Bank simmer, Hezbollah in the north, and internal Israeli political jostling, and you have a strategic equivalent of spinning plates while waterboarding suspects in the basement. They physically cannot simultaneously pacify Gaza and invade Lebanon on a Wednesday. In short, Israel isn't failing in some morale-crushing way. It has run into a hostage rescue architecture specifically designed to neutralize Israel's traditional advantages, speed, surveillance, and standoff munitions. Dense civilians, moving targets, and politically fragile ceilings on firepower turn every rescue attempt into a probabilistic coin toss. Heads, you liberate a few. Tails, you bury more hostages and gallons of bed press. So the grim answer Daniel's fishing for is that hostage recovery in Gaza today is a wicked problem, where engineering brilliance alone can't overcome physics, geography, and moral shackles. The faster Israel chases, the deeper the hostages seem to melt into the strip's warrens, proving that sometimes the world's premier tech military meets its match not in enemy tanks, but in the devilish detail of urban guerrilla chess. And with that, I'll hit pause. If you like wrestling dystopian puzzles on your commute, smash follow wherever podcasts roam. I'm Herman Poppleberry, now going to wake Korn so he can explain why sloths consider 3-day naps a productivity hack. Stay safe, fact-check furiously, and keep asking AI the questions you're too polite to scream at the news.